Good morning. July 2nd, 2026. Time for your harm reduction briefing. Today's themes include fentanyl tolerance, shifting cannabis policy questions, and a pair of rural opioid response funding deadlines that are just days away. Disclaimer: this software uses AI to aggregate content and transcribe it to speech. Please double-check sources before putting any information into action. We'll start with a few media stories getting attention this morning. The New York Times reports from Los Angeles that regular users can tolerate previously unsurvivable amounts of fentanyl. On a different front, WPRI reports that Alibaba will pay $600 million to settle allegations that it allowed illegal drug and equipment sales. In New York, WAMC reports that an advocate says mental health and substance use care providers are often not paid on time. That kind of payment delay can quickly affect service continuity if providers are already operating on thin margins. And in Tennessee, the Tennessean looks at the DEA's marijuana rescheduling discussion and asks whether Tennessee's laws could change. In the Social Pulse, one lived experience post on LinkedIn comes from Rebecca Lynn Walton, who shared that she was up since 4 a.m. preparing to present to the Opioid Settlement Fund Advisory Board on work happening at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. A couple of innovation-oriented posts also stood out. On LinkedIn, Stephen HRNRP argued that overdose posts and media coverage often mention naloxone, fentanyl test strips, and sometimes 988, but leave out the SafeSpot overdose hotline. That is a practical reminder that using alone remains a central risk point in overdose response messaging. And on Blue Sky, the CU Department of Medicine highlighted research from CU Anschutz on the impact of a temporary syringe distribution ban in Pueblo. The Post says the study found the ban was associated with fewer syringe-related services. There was also a clear example of opposition messaging. On X, an account called The Watchdogs criticized the use of settlement money for harm reduction vending machines on Staten Island, describing them as providing free Narcan and drug use accessories, and arguing overdose numbers were already dropping. Turning to research, one new study in the Journal of Addiction Medicine examines diversion concerns as a modifiable barrier to buprenorphine prescribing among primary care professionals. That one may be especially useful for teams working on prescriber engagement. Another study, in Addiction Science and Clinical Practice, looks at implementation of mobile methadone treatment serving a residential substance use disorder treatment program. Its title highlights a core access theme, that it was easier for patients to come to the mobile service. And in Drug and Alcohol Review, researchers report on the detection of novel nitazine-class opioids in unregulated drug markets in Canada. That is another signal to watch for drug checking, surveillance, and overdose response planning. A few policy moves also stand out. In Vermont, a newly enacted cannabis law is on the list. Also in Vermont, a separate enacted measure covers fiscal year 2027 appropriations for the Opioid Abatement Special Fund and the Substance Misuse Prevention Special Fund. At the city level, Phoenix, Arizona, lists an ordinance for substance use prevention and naloxone professional development and training services, identified as Ordinance S53080.
And in Columbus, Ohio, Ordinance 2057-2026 concerns Columbus residents enrolled in the Buckeye Diversion Criminal Deflection Program. When local ordinances tie directly to diversion programs, they can shape whether those programs are actually usable on the ground. In funding, there are three current opportunities to know about. The Health Resources and Services Administration has the Rural Communities Opioid Response Program, or R Corp, impact opportunity, with a deadline of July 8, 2026. HRSA also has the R Corp planning opportunity, also due July 8, 2026. Those two deadlines are coming up very soon for rural applicants. And the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration has Preventing Youth Overdose, Treatment, Recovery, Education, Awareness, and Training, with a deadline of July 16, 2026. For any additional funding opportunities flagged by the newsletter, check out the browser version. Finally, two activism items are in view today. The National Council for Mental Well-Being is asking people to contact their representative in support of the Residential Recovery for Seniors Act. And Shatterproof is asking for donations in support of Affirming Addiction Recovery Care. If that advocacy push is relevant to your work, it may be worth checking whether your outreach plans need an update today. That is your morning briefing. Stay informed, stay grounded, and have a strong start to your day.